First, the U.S. Conference of Mayors recently came out with recommendations on how police departments and their communities can build trust and improve public safety. The guidance includes a section on assessing the calls of service to the police. Research shows that no more than 10% of the calls police respond to involve violent crime. That's causing many local leaders to reconsider whether police officers are the best resource in some emergency situations. Some local governments are changing their emergency response programs with the goal of providing better outcomes for everyone involved. Carl Smith is a senior staff writer for Governing, where he recently wrote about this issue. Carl, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. This is an interesting topic to talk about.
Definitely. Now, before we get into particular cities' responses here around the country, can you talk about the types of calls that police are responding to as told by some of the latest research?
The calls that don't involve violence? LA Times recently did a survey looking through 18 million calls over 10 years, and only about 8% were violent crimes. So it's very often things that don't really require a police presence, particularly when you have your dispatchers trained to recognize situations that might go that way.
So what other kind of things, what are all these 90+% of calls that police are responding to?
Well, it can be something as simple as public intoxication. It could be a welfare check, a neighbor wanting to be sure that someone in their area is doing okay. It could be people in crisis, in some sort of mental distress. Could be domestic abuse. Could be those sorts of things.
And in your piece, you focused in on how particular cities are maybe changing the way they approach some of those situations. And interestingly, it struck me in a couple of the cases, the lead is being taken by police chiefs. They would like to see their officers, it seems like, responding to fewer of those mental health emergencies, things like that. Can you talk about that from police chiefs in Denver and other big cities?
Right. It's very much true. To a large extent, what they find is because social safety nets have got holes in them, they end up being the only resource available for a situation that doesn't really constitute a law enforcement matter. And in general, police would like to be solving crime, pursuing, the perpetrators of situations that are actual threats to public safety. And as much as they might personally feel some empathy for someone who got drunk and fell down and cut their knee, they don't necessarily consider that to be their job.
Talking to Carl Smith from Governing Magazine, looking at new approaches from cities around the country in their emergency response and looking for ways to have people other than police respond to some of the calls they get. Now, let's dig into some of the examples you give, starting with Eugene, Oregon, one of the longer running ones that now some other cities are looking to. What has happened there?
Right. That's really the best established program. It's been there for 38 years, and the clinic which it sprung from has actually been in the town for over 50 years. And it really arose out of the community, and I think that's an important part of this. We look to police when there's trouble, but the reason CAHOOTS works so well to a large extent is that it grew up out of the community itself, expressing a desire to try to provide sort of more humane and caring response in situations where it wasn't really a law enforcement situation. So the CAHOOTS teams are comprised of a medic and then a crisis worker, and they have a van. And it's organized in such a way that it's actually administered through the police department. They go out on calls when they are dispatched by the folks in the 911 system. So a 911 call comes in. If the dispatcher determines it's something CAHOOTS can respond to, they'll send the CAHOOTS folks out. The program is very much a partner with the police. And even though it's come up in the context of alternatives to police, they don't really see themselves as being in opposition to the police. They just see that there are ways that on behalf of the community, they can support the police efforts to provide a safe community and to provide appropriate assistance to folks who are in trouble.
So it sounds like part of the story here, though, is if I'm a dispatcher with this kind of system, I'm going to need some extra training, I guess, to triage. Am I dispatching this to the police themselves or to this CAHOOTS, this alternative program?
That's right. And that's very well grooved in. They responded in 2019, the last year, complete year, they responded to 24,000 calls and they only needed backup 150 times. So that's more than 99% of the time they were absolutely able to provide what was needed. And another important part of it is that the people in the CAHOOTS teams are thoroughly aware of and have working relationships with all the various sorts of support programs in the community. So if the person that they're asked to assist is homeless and came to the attention of 911 because maybe they were out on the street, maybe they were boisterous, maybe they were drunk, whatever it might be, the CAHOOTS folks have direct relationships with the right service to send that person to. So having the van, they're able to provide transport and give them what they call a warm handoff. So they have a more deep understanding of what's available to someone in some of these situations and can get them to the right person so that you don't start out with someone in distress or someone observing someone in distress, have a call to 911, have someone go out to try to help, and then send the person to the wrong place. And I think another important thing about it in the context of looking at investments in public safety is they save the city about $8 million a year on police calls and about $14 million on ambulance and emergency room treatment. Because in the case of the medical things, if it's a cut or a scratch or someone has a cold or whatever it might be, they can give them the assistance they need. If they do need to go to an emergency room or something, they can transport them, but they may not need that. So the investment that the city and the county, they have some county funding, makes in what CAHOOTS is doing is returned conservatively 7 times over. So it's makes sense in pretty much any way you could think of.
Now, that's Eugene, Oregon. It has a reputation, I think, of being a city that does things differently. But as you write, you've got a big city like Denver, Colorado now, looking to the Eugene example. Where is Denver in considering something like this?
Well, the police chief there, Paul Pazin, heard about the program years ago. He went out and visited. He thought it was pretty interesting. He decided to do something. There was a bond initiative, and the citizens decided they would fund a pilot program. Then Denver sent dispatchers out. You pointed that out earlier. You would need some training. They sent dispatchers out, and they got trained to know what would be an appropriate time to send one of these teams. They're calling their program Support Team Assisted Response, or STAR, and it's been going for, I guess, maybe a month and a half, 2 months now. And what the chief said is it's in certain districts only, sort of the core downtown area. And he's having officers say, hey, when can we have this in our area? We want more. We want more of these teams. And interestingly, it's perhaps in response to the Denver implementation and other events, Senator Wyden from Washington is actually going to be introducing a bill that would provide a federal program based on CAHOOTS using Medicaid funds and give cities up to a 95% match on any investment that they made in developing a program of their own. So that could expand this quite a lot. And actually, I was talking to the CAHOOTS folks earlier today, and since the death of George Floyd, they've had over 300 calls for consultation regarding putting a program such as theirs in place. The normal for an entire year, and that was the end of May when that event occurred, the normal for 1 year for them would be more like 8. So interest is exploding in this type of program. And I think it's because it makes sense, really. Yeah, it's hardly controversial.
And are you expecting, as we wrap up, Carl, other communities, other cities to start putting in maybe pilot programs like Denver started with in the next year or two?
Well, absolutely. And I know Oregon has got some other cities going, San Francisco. They already are working with us. And absolutely, because it very directly and very simply and very deeply responds to this notion that maybe that sometimes what people need is help. And here's a way to provide it humanely in coordination with police in a manner that actually saves government money. So it's a well-established 30 years of implementation approach that could give communities and some of the activists who are calling for different ways of doing things an approach that would probably make them happy.
Carl, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
Carl Smith is a senior staff writer for Governing. We talked with him about the nonviolent types of calls police officers often respond to and how some cities and community groups are rethinking their approach to policing, looking to, as we heard, different kinds of emergency response teams to be part of the picture.